wide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Ron Pevney, and he's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging. And we're talking about that intergenerational contact. Is there more that you can say about that, Ron?
Justine, I'd like to give an example that has deeply inspired me since I've learned of it in the last year. And I think it's reflective of something that's going on in many places. There's a man in Boulder, Colorado, named Jack Williamson. And he has developed a series of programs that bring together younger people, you know, high school students, college students, with elders in the community. In fact, he's developed a course at the University of Colorado called Intergenerational Writing, and elders and young people are in the course together. And the purpose is to learn about each other's lives, to write about what they have learned, to work together to identify needs in the community for social justice or some kind of a need, and together to spearhead, when possible, projects to help meet that need. And I had a chance to talk with some of these elders and with some of these youngers, as I like to call them, and they both realized that just working together in these kind of ways built bridges, it broke down stereotypes, it created a kind of mutual respect that blew them away. And one thing that they learned, and I think this is a really important point, yes, we as elders and emerging elders have a lot to share with others. But it's important to go into this not thinking, well, we are the fonts of wisdom. The youngers have so much to share with us. And when we approach our relationship in a mutually respectful way, the richness of the learning is so beautiful, so beautiful.
That's beautiful. Well said. So I hope it's encouraging for our listeners. I would love for you to say something. I know that you mentioned a mentor in your work, in your book, in your life that I rarely hear, but it's someone who in the life of New Dimensions has been pivotal, just pivotal in our work. And that is the work of Patricia Sun. And you mentioned her in your book. I was so pleased to run across that. So many people have not even heard of her, and yet she's been instrumental in my life, in Michael's life, in the life of New Dimensions. So can you say something about your work with Patricia?
Patricia has been one of, if not the most important persons in my life in helping me to understand that I have gifts, what these gifts are, and to gain the confidence to give them. And I first met Patricia, back in the 70s, when I was pursuing my master's studies at the California Institute of Integral Studies. And when I was with Patricia, I mean, she is an incredible visionary who can articulate a vision for what's possible for humans in a unique, beautiful way. But for me, more important than any of the word she said was a certain energy that I felt when I was with her. And I remember I'd be on weekend workshops with her here in California. And I would leave that workshop, and for 2 or 3 days, I would be in a state of consciousness that was different. I could try to put words to it, I can't. It was different, but it was so profound. And when I was with others, because I was studying to become a therapist at the time, somehow they experienced some of that for me. It was like transferred. And so...
So it's like an energetic transfer.
Yeah, and that's what I experienced. And it was a sense of such a deep love that had kept me going through some pretty dark times. Now, what was amazing is that I found when I started doing my work with Wilderness Vision Quest, with Rites of Passage, I found that in the retreats that I led, lo and behold, that energy was there. And so somehow what I found is that Patricia showed me what was possible to bring a group together and with a focus and an intentionality to enter into sacred space together. And at least in the work that I do, we enter into that space that Patricia showed me. And so what a gift. Like, she mirrored to me something that was also in me and that I can help others to experience. And I think that is the essence and the strength of the work that I do. Is this something that can come through me when I allow it and I help a group to acknowledge and invite that space?
You know, that reminds me of something that you mention in your work, and that's the unpredictable moments of grace. And it seems to me that was a moment of grace in your life. And so often we are so busy in our lives, and or we're distracted in some way. We're watching TV or we're doing something else, and it just, these moments of grace fly by and we don't notice them. What do you have to say about being able to notice these magical moments?
I think that in order to notice the subtle but powerful things that happen in our lives, we need to have times in our lives when we're quieter, when the mind isn't racing, when we're not multitasking, engaging in a million things at once. I strongly believe, and I think this is the foundation of my way of doing conscious eldering work, I strongly believe that the more time we give ourselves in the natural world, being quiet, the more able we are to feel those subtle moments of grace, those subtle movements in us. You just can't do it when you're in cities where everything is human created. And so I so strongly encourage people to spend quiet time in a focused, mindful way in nature. And the other thing that I think is so critical is gratitude. Because when we adopt gratitude as a practice, then that opens us up to seeing the grace in everything that has happened that we might not otherwise see. It just passes by. So gratitude is absolutely critical.
So even if we're physically in pain or mentally depressed, this practice of gratitude might be of help. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, whatever our situation, we are alive. We have the gift of life. We have the gift and the possibility of using every experience, the difficult ones as well as the joyous ones, to grow our souls. Even if our bodies are hurting, maybe our minds are hurting. I believe that the purpose of life, what's possible for us is to grow our souls into a certain fullness, a certain wholeness. And whatever is going on with us, as challenging as it is, gratitude helps us to see these events as catalysts toward this kind of growth. It helps us, I think, to see our lives from the soul's perspective and not just the perspective of our personalities. And so I think that the deeper we can grow our connection to spirit, the spirit in us, however we understand that, the easier it is to actually live with and experience gratitude, because we're seeing the soul's eye view of our lives and not just the personality eye view of our lives.
You know, Ron, that reminds me, I know that you give a lot of attention. There are three different phases in our lives that you talk about. There's coming into this elderhood, there's severance, there's the neutral zone, and reincorporation. Those are the ways that you hold it. But I want to talk about that neutral zone, because as we're coming out, we've talked earlier about midlife. As we're coming out of midlife, you spent a lot of time talking about this neutral zone. And this is a very interesting and sometimes scary time. Can you talk about what do you mean about the neutral zone?
When human beings go through significant transitions, in order for our psyches to make the transition from one life stage to another, who we were before to who we can become, there is a three phase process. That's the essence of life transition. And all three phases, all three dynamics need to be honored so that we can fully make our way through the transition. This is something indigenous people have always known, and rites of passage were embodiments of this. And we've forgotten a lot of this in the world we live in. But the first phase requires us to take a look at who we have been, what has served us well that we want to carry forward, what needs to be let go, because you can't move forward, you can't transform into a new self carrying everything from the past. What needs to be healed so our energy won't be stuck in the past there and we can't move forward? And so the first phase is called severance, and it really is letting go in a healthy, honoring way from who we have been. But then we enter a phase that I think our modern secular world totally does not understand, and that's called what I call the neutral zone. Some people call it liminal time. And that's an in-between time of lying fallow. We're not who we have been. We're not clear who we're becoming. But the seeds of possibility are there, kind of gestating. But like you said, it can be a time of feeling lost. There aren't roadmaps. There aren't any clear markers. We can feel, God, we are stuck here forever. There's no hope. I don't know who I'm becoming. And yet if we use this neutral zone time well, we can really support it being the ground out of which some wonderful new beginnings and new clarity and new vision for our lives can emerge.
You know, I want to support that with a poem. And I know that in your work, you use many poems.
Yes.
And that's another that reaches us on another different, on a different level. And I would love, if I may, read this poem. It's called The Map You Make Yourself by Jan Richardson. And she writes, "You have looked at so many doors with longing, wondering if your life lay on the other side. For today, choose the door that opens to the inside. Travel the most ancient way of all, the path that leads you to the center of your life. No map, but the one you make yourself. No provision, but what you already carry, and the grace that comes to those who walk the pilgrim's way. Speak this blessing as you set out and watch how your rhythm slows, the cadence of the road, drawing you into the pace that is your own. Eat when hungry, rest when tired. Listen to your dreaming. Welcome detours as doors deeper in. Pray for protection. Ask for the guidance you need. Offer gladness for the gifts that come and then let them go. Do not expect to return by the same road. Home is always by another way, and you will know it not by the light that waits for you, but by the star that blazes inside you, telling you where you are is holy and you are welcome here." The Map You Make Yourself by Jan Richardson. And I'm here with Ron Pevney, and he's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Ron Pevney, and he's the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embrace and Savor Your Next Chapter. And Ron, we were talking about the neutral zone, and I'm wondering, you have said all along that we do not, we sort of drift into these different chapters of our lives. You use the word drift, and I really recognize that. Yeah, we just sort of drift in and find ourselves, oh my goodness, I'm now in my 70s or I'm in my 80s. How did this happen? And we never mark it. And you have mentioned several times in the program that we have a lack of rites of passage that actually mark things. You mentioned briefly about how to look at, to sever from the past and to look at the gifts we bring and those that we need to discard. So let's say something about rites of passage and how we can incorporate more of that in our lives.
Our rites of passage have been an inherent part of how cultures throughout history have supported people in growing internally, and then growing so that they can give their gifts as fully as possible to their communities. And you're right, we have lost most meaningful rites of passage in the world we live in now. But I think the important thing to remember is that it wasn't just, you know, 3 days on the sacred mountain or a week-long vision quest or something that did the bulk of the work. The rite of passage ceremony was almost like an exclamation point or an amplification of a whole process of inner work that had been going on over a period of time. And then at a certain point, you have the rite of passage to really amplify it and give it social recognition and maybe push one over the edge into a new chapter. If in the world we live in, if we feel a call to age consciously, a call to elderhood, and we don't have rites of passage, then it's important for us to at least be doing the inner work that is the kind of work that helps lead us through the three different phases or dynamics of transition. And so by doing that inner work, and especially by doing it in the company of others, and having certain key moments when we are witnessed and supported by others, then we can at least tap into some of that rite of passage energy.
You know, I'm thinking too, let us be brave enough to ask our group, whoever surrounds us, our friends, let us be brave enough to say, can you help me mark this? I've just gone through, let's say, a health crisis, and I'm on the other side, and I need to mark this. Would you help me as my friend to mark it?
And, that's right.
Is that something that you would encourage us to do?
Oh, I very much would. And just one example. A lot of people feel the need and they recognize the importance of somehow ritualizing or ceremonializing letting go of some things that need to be let go. And one can go do it by oneself. One can dig a hole and put it into the ground or build a little fire. But when you have this witnessed by others, they are seeing your intention. They're adding their love and their support. And you have a whole energy to support you're letting go that you don't have if you just try to do it on your own.
You know, I'm just thinking, just in my apartment, I was just kind of rearranging some things, Ron. And in the apartment, I have three very tall, maybe they're 3 or 4 foot tall pieces of wood, carved wood. Uh-huh. And there are three of them. And two of them were given to Michael, and one was given to me, and they were friends who took these, like the one that was given to me, just to describe it, someone painted it a beautiful electric blue, and then she hung all of these wonderful little tchotchkes on it, you know, little, some feathers and some little symbols of different spiritual things. And it's just, and bells and things. And you shake it and it makes this wonderful sound. And I was just moving it and I was just remembering that this was given to me as a rite of passage into my 60th birthday.
Oh, beautiful.
And that was so beautiful to have that reminder of that group that witnessed with me that passage.
What a beautiful, supportive community you're fortunate to have.
But we can make these up. I mean, we make these up. We make up rituals.
We do.
Just be creative. Make a vision board for your friend. Just pull pictures out of a magazine and paste them on a little board and say, this is what I hope for you, or this is a reminder of where you are right now, or whatever.
Yeah, let our creativity flow. There's no one way to do it. Yeah, that's a beautiful example you shared there.
And that's what you're talking about, that creative expression you've talked about. We need to have some solitude, especially in nature. You talk about creative expression. This is another one. You've talked about our spiritual connection, deepening that. And then there's another that you mention in your work that's really important, and that's dreams. Can you say something about dreams and how they are important, especially in this time?
Yeah, whenever we are in times of significant transition, when kind of the old psychic structures are starting to break down to create the space for a new self to emerge, it's at those times that our dream life can tend for most people to come most alive. And if all of a sudden you notice that you haven't been somebody who does much dreaming or remembers dreams, and all of a sudden the dreams are just coming real big, even if you don't remember them or know how to work with them, that is a sign that your psyche is saying, hey, pay attention. Some things are changing, some things need to change. Dreams can offer a lot of guidance. I think one of the most beautiful ways to work with dreams is, if you're really committed to it, is to find a dream group. There are dream groups in all kinds of communities, so you're not just working from some book and trying to figure out what this means or that, but help each other to explore the dreams.
And they're very personal. I mean, have a dictionary of dream interpretation is just not going to work. I've heard that.
No, it doesn't. We each have our own inner set of symbols. But to learn what we can from our dreams can be a wonderful gift to us, and to get some help if we don't know really how to do it.
And I know another piece of advice that you give is to notice synchronicities. And I'm wondering, do you have any advice? What is a synchronicity? And do you have any advice of how we can create more synchronicities in our lives?
A synchronicity is a wonderful, wonderful gift. And I think somebody defines synchronicity as God's way of answering our prayers. There's all kinds of great definitions. But a synchronicity is when our inner need, our inner dynamic, is somehow mysteriously mirrored in outer events. Synchronicities are happening all the time. But I think it is true that when we are in times of major transition, synchronicities tend to happen more strongly. Just like I said, our dream life becomes more vivid. They tend to be more powerful, almost like signs from a psyche saying, hey, you are going through a big change, and here are some guideposts to help you recognize and understand what's going on.
Do you find that when we notice and acknowledge a synchronicity, that they happen more often?
Yeah, I think that's the case. Just like when we notice and acknowledge our dreams, then we're more likely to remember dreams. I think the same thing happens with synchronicity. And the thing about synchronicity is that, when one happens, you can try to interpret it and you can get overly heady about it. But what I think is most valuable for most people is to look for those synchronistic events that somehow seem to touch you. I mean, you just feel something, an energetic something inside that, hey, something meaningful happened here. And that is more valuable than, you know, trying to analyze with your head every single thing that happens.
So that would separate it from a coincidence, let's say, because you have some sort of inner response to it.
Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. An inner response where you just know that has some real meaning, as opposed to you're struggling with your head to try to think, is there some meaning between this and this? Well, when you have a strong synchronicity, I mean, one that really is a guidepost in your life, I think most people know it. They know it. They feel that, whoa, there is something meaningful here. And when that happens, that's a time to really get reflective and write about it, spend time kind of reliving it, feeling it, asking your inner guidance, however you receive guidance, give me some clarity. What did this mean? Because it feels meaningful to me. It's a sign to go within and try to understand what it's pointing to.
Ron, I just want to thank you so much for being with us. We could go on and on. I just enjoyed this so much. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure, Justine. Thank you.
I've been here with Ron Pevney, and he is the author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, Embracing and Savor Your Next Chapter. He also is the founder of the Center for Conscious Eldering. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, centerforconscious-eldering.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3617.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org, or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support, and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crowder, author of Surviving the Storm, a workbook for telling your cancer story. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about the journey of cancer survivorship.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.